Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog, I'm your host, Pepper. The horrific fires in Los Angeles have prompted a lot of us to really think about how we can prepare for an evacuation if, God forbid, a fire or other natural disaster threatens our safety. On the line to tell us how we can help prepare our pets for an evacuation is John Van Zanny, Public Relations Director for Rancho Coastal Humane Society in Encinitas. Thank you for joining me.
Pepper, thank you for having us. What a great opportunity for us to save some lives, change some lives.
John, start by telling us, how should pet owners prepare their pets for the event of an evacuation? What should be in our pet's evacuation kit?
Well, first of all, you do need a plan. You can't make a plan when the firefighters tell you you have 5 minutes, you have 10 minutes, you have to evacuate. By then, you've already lost half the battle. So you need a plan. Decide in advance so that when it happens, who will load the pets in the vehicle? Which vehicle will you be using? Who will load the evacuation kits? Which vehicles will you use? Who will drive? If you're evacuated, where will you go? Which, that may change due to the evacuation, some place that you thought was safe. I had some friends here in San Diego a few years ago who were evacuated. They went to a friend's house. They got there. That house was evacuated the next day. 2 days later, the next house they went to was also evacuated. So they had a plan and a backup plan and a backup plan. And they knew that the husband would take this vehicle and this part of their property, and the wife would take the other vehicle with their son. And she had all of the legal documents, the photo albums and things like that. But again, you have to start with a plan and remember that plan and practice that plan. Another thing, since we're talking about animals here, is remember that all evacuation centers do not allow pets. So you may get to some place where you think you're going to go in and you're going to be safe, and you show up with your dog or your cat, and they go, yeah, you can come in, but you can't bring that dog with you. You can't bring that cat with you. Also, when you're putting together that plan, make arrangements with friends or family members so that if you get evacuated, you have somebody who can take your pets in the event that you're not able to take them with you. And that would include the information in the evacuation kit. And evacuation kit is something that, if you're going to live here in Southern California, whether it's a fire, whether it's wind, whether it's power outages, you should have an evacuation kit. A lot of these, I know like Chewy has a pet evacuation kit for $80, or you can build your own. And so when I build a pet evacuation kit, the first thing I start with is a crate. You pull into an evacuation center with your pet. There's 200 other people there. Everybody brought their pet. You can't just take your pet in and let it loose. You're going to need a crate. A lot of evacuation centers will not allow you in with your pet unless you have a crate. Everything that you have should have a label on it with your contact information. So whether it's your name and your phone number, your name or your email, then take along some extra labels and markers because you're going to get there and find some things that you didn't have labeled. Crates or carriers, as I said, start with those. It may give your pet a sense of safety, a sense of security. There's going to be noise and strange smells, and so that crate can keep them safe and keep you safe also. Another thing that I'm going to say with this is take a copy of your pet's vaccination records, because a lot of the places will not let you in unless you can prove that your pet is vaccinated. They may sound a little cruel, but if you get in there and your pet gets a disease or something, as a result of another pet that wasn't vaccinated, bring a copy of your vaccination records. I may be a little extreme about this, but I have a copy of my pet's vaccination records here at my desk at Rancho Coastal Humane Society. I have a copy in my car. I have another copy at home. But that's something that you should have anyway, anytime. Remember that if you're evacuated, if your pet is on medications, just because you're evacuated doesn't mean you stop the medication. Most experts agree that if you're going to be evacuated, you should have enough food for a week. And this could be a wet food. It could be dry food. I would think you'd want to put some comfort food in there. Do remember, if your pet eats canned food, get the food with the flip-up top. Because I had a friend who was evacuated a few years ago. She had everything put together, but she had food that needed to be opened with a can opener. She didn't have a can opener. So if your pet eats canned food with a pop-up lid, okay. Otherwise, remember a can opener. Water, experts agree, at least enough for 1 week. I don't know how many people would do that or would be ready for that. So now you've got your water, you've got your food. You're going to need dishes and bowls, the same as you do at home. Blankets, beds, toys. Even though you're evacuated, if your pet has the toy that gives them comfort, or they need to get out and get some exercise, a tennis ball, their stuffed toy, the cat wand. And don't forget treats. Even though you're evacuated, those treats can be comforting for your pet. So that's the first tier of things for your pet evacuation kit. If you have a cat, litter box and litter. For your dog, poo bags, because even though you're out there, your pet's going to need to have a walk. Remember the bags. Extra collars and harnesses. And normally I don't recommend the extra long leashes, but if you're in an evacuation situation and you're going to get out and need to get some exercise, get a walk, you might want one of the extra long leashes. Make sure that your pet's collars have identification on them. Many pets escape by pulling out of their collars. Make sure your pets are microchipped, if they aren't already. And if your pet is chipped, make sure that the information on the chip with the chip registry is accurate and up to date. Did you move? Did you change your email? Did you get a different telephone? Make sure that information is correct. Another thing, and I think most of us probably already have this, but recent photos of your pets. I'm going to take that one step further and say a picture of your pet with you. A few years ago here at Rancho Coastal Humane Society, we had a man that came in and he said, "My neighbor's on a business trip. He's in Northern California. His dog got away. We found out the dog is here. He asked me to come and claim the pet." And it's like, well, you don't match the information on the chip. You don't match the license. And the guy goes, "Oh, hold on." And he pulled out his phone. He had like 50 pictures of him with the neighbor's dog. And so it's a little hard to argue that. It's like, oh, this is my neighbor. This is his dog. This is me with him and the dog. But a picture of you with the pet. A pet first aid kit. Hopefully, if you get to an evacuation center, you won't need that. But if you don't, and you may need that, or you may need to do a quick fix on something. The basic information, things that you should have prepared in your evacuation kit. Phone numbers, the name of your veterinarian. As I said, copies of vaccination records, copies of any medical records, if that's something that's going to be pertinent. And don't just put them in the kit. Put them in a waterproof container, because who knows what you could have gone through already by the time you get to the evacuation center. And again, this is a good time to make sure that your pet's vaccinations are up to date in case they need to go into a boarding facility. So you may get there. The evacuation center is good, and the authorities say you can't get back in there for a week, 2 weeks. Your house is totally gone. The vaccinations are something that your pet would need if it's going into a boarding center or an evacuation area. I know that's a long list, but that's kind of the basics that you need for a pet evacuation kit.
What steps should we take ahead of time to make sure we're ready for an evacuation?
To get ready for an evacuation, have a plan. Write it down. Practice it. If you've got a dog, a cat, a fish, and two kids, have a plan. go over it, review it every once in a while, and then do a dry run so you can practice your plan. This would involve mom, dad, the kids, the animals. You don't have to do everything where you pick them up and put them in a crate, but really have everybody know what's going to be involved. And make sure you have some caregivers, and make sure the caregivers know they're going to be the caregivers. If you're evacuating, don't just pull up to somebody's house and go, oh, here, we're evacuating. You need to take care of our pet while we're gone. Feeding, walking, cleaning schedule, all of those are things that you should prepare for and hope you never need. But have a plan.
I'm speaking with John Van Zanny, Public Relations Director for Rancho Coastal Humane Society. When we think about pet evacuations, most of us tend to think about our cats and dogs. But what about other animals?
Our pets comes in all shapes and sizes. I had a friend who was evacuated a few years ago. His big concern was his fish. He had a saltwater fish that he'd had as long as I knew him. I was like, how do you evacuate a fish from this huge tank? But he had a plan. Birds, if you have parrots, if you have parakeets, if you have canaries, a portable cage that you can put them in to take with you. What about reptiles? Snakes, lizards, frogs, toads, turtles. Make sure that you have what you need to carry them in. Pet rats, hamsters, guinea pigs. Again, the proper carrying case and all the other things that we were talking about. Their food, their water, their vaccinations. Snakes, somebody who called and said, I need to move. I need to get my snake. What do? I can't just take my snake. And so what I said is, get a pillowcase, take your snake, put it in the pillowcase, put the pillowcase in a cooler, like one of those little igloo coolers with a handle on it. The snake will be fine in there. It'll control the climate. The snake will feel comfy and hugged and snuggled in the pillowcase. Then you get to other animals. You know, for some people, their pet is a horse. And it's a big pet, but it's still their pet. It's the one that they love. This is, again, where you need to have a plan. Somebody with a horse trailer, someplace that you can go. And make plans where you're going. Now, one thing, this will vary depending on which authority that you speak with. Some authorities say that if you're going to move with your horse, one person said, if you can ride it, ride it. But then somebody else said, no, you can't ride a horse through the fire zone, which makes sense. But some authorities say, put them in the barn or put them in the corral, close the gate, close the door. Others say, get them out of the barn, get them out of the gate, and then close the barn door, close the gate, because otherwise they'll go back in. We saw this in San Diego several years ago, fires in East San Diego County, where people opened the gates, let the horses out. Oh, the horse was looking for a safe place. The safe place was the corral. The safe place was the barn. So they ran back in there. So again, depending on who you're talking to, a lot of authorities say, get them out, close the door, close the gate, so they don't go back in. Fire officials are concerned that if you have a scared horse and it's running up the road, they're going to come around the corner and have a horse standing in the middle of their truck. So I would say in a situation like this, do what makes you feel comfortable and confident with those larger animals.
And speaking of being prepared for any situation, what are some steps we can take to make sure that if our pets do get lost, that they're able to find their way back to us?
Identification stickers, as we've said, an ID sticker, tag, a dog tag, one on their leash, one on their collar, and make sure that it's accurate information on there. We mentioned microchips a little bit ago. Make sure that your pet is chipped and make sure the information on the microchip is current and it's up to date. Firefighters are not required to go into your home or your property to save animals. I would dare to say that most of them would. If they're looking and your home is on fire, and they can see a pet in the window, most of them are going to get in there and save it if they can safely. But remember, they're not required to do that. That's technically not part of a job. Have a sign prominently displayed on your door or window informing emergency personnel that you have pets how many, and what kind. So my name is Pepper. I have two large dogs, one cat, one parakeet. That way authorities know what is in there. Another thing, I've had so many firefighters mention this. When you evacuate, put a sign at the front door or in the front window that says evacuated. That way they're not wasting their time going up, pounding on the door, trying to find out if anybody's home, find out if anybody's home who has passed out or gone to sleep and is nowhere. But once you evacuate, post a sign prominently so the firefighters know that your home has been evacuated.
And if we come across a stray pet, what steps should we take then?
Remember, if you come across a stray pet, that it's probably scared. And it's like the people that go, oh, my dog only bites when he's afraid. Well, if he's afraid and he bites you, you're still as bit. So be careful. Be gentle. One of our local television stations yesterday had a reporter in Palisades, and they were trying to catch this cat. The cat ducked away, ducked under some stairs. They put out a can of tuna. They went back an hour later. The cat had come back and eaten the tuna. So remember, they're scared. Be cautious. Don't put yourself in danger. If you can catch them, terrific. If you can get them into a crate, if you can get a leash on them, and then get them to an evacuation center, get them to a shelter, give them some water, do what you can do to help make them comfortable. And remember, just because you found it doesn't mean it's yours. That's a pet that probably belongs to somebody, and that person, that family is going to be missing them. So keep that in mind also.
And why is it so important to spay and neuter our pets?
Spaying and neutering is always important anytime. Anywhere here in Southern California, we're animal lovers here. But when somebody comes into us at Rancho Coastal Humane Society or any of the other shelters here in Southern California, and they have a dog, they have a cat, they have a litter. They never wanted the litter, but all of a sudden, here they are. We get the pets that are transferred to us, dogs or cats, and they come in with a litter. That's something that could have been avoided, but it wasn't. So now instead of having one pet that somebody didn't want, we've got five or six pets that somebody didn't want. Spaying and neutering stops that problem. Once you do that, it's a quick fix, it's done, and you're not contributing to the problem. The other thing is, if you want to look at it from a financial standpoint, the pets that aren't spayed or neutered that end up in a shelter, they all have medical exams when they get here. They have vaccinations. They're spayed. They're neutered. In situations where maybe a pet is sick, suffering some life-threatening illness, people aren't going to like this. I'm going to say it anyway. There's the cost of the euthanasia and the cost of body disposal. Nobody wants to think about that. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it is a reality. Spaying and neutering pretty much puts a stop to a lot of these problems.
I've been speaking with John Van Zanny, Public Relations Director for Rancho Coastal Humane Society. Anything else you want us to know?
We've had a number of calls here at Rancho Coastal Humane Society. Our friends at San Diego Humane Society have been taking a lot of pets from the Pasadena area. And somebody said, well, what if those people go looking for their pets? The pets that are being transferred out of that area are pets that were already in the shelters. These are pets that are being picked up now as a result of the fire. These are pets that were already there, already available for adoption. They're being transferred out to make room for the evacuees. So if that's something that you're concerned about, nobody's looking for those pets. They were already in the shelters and available for adoption.
Where can we go to get more information?
For more information, you can look online at Rancho Coastal Humane Society. Our website is sdpets.org. But look on the website for the shelter or the rescue that's nearest you. If you have questions, call your local shelter. Call your local rescue. Don't assume. And if we can reiterate any of this, like we started with, have a plan, decide what you're going to do, practice the plan, and then do it.
Thank you so much for talking with us today, and thank you for helping to keep our pets safe.
It's an honor.